Welcome to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories and most heated debates from the front page of Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is Wednesday, July 8th, 2026, and today we are looking back at the top stories from yesterday, July 7th. This is episode number 450, which feels like a pretty cool milestone.
It really does. We have a packed board today, and honestly, a lot of it has a distinctly European flavor. We are going to be talking about a massive EU vote on mass surveillance, new EU regulations for cameras in your car, and on the gaming front, a really sad update out of Microsoft regarding the legendary iTech engine. But we are going to start with something a bit more uplifting.
Yeah, let us kick things off with some open source goodness. The top story yesterday with over 700 points was an app called Street Complete. The title of the post was Street Complete, Fixing OpenStreetMap One Tiny Quest at a Time.
OpenStreetMap, or OSM, is one of those projects that Hacker News absolutely loves, but it can be super intimidating for the average person to contribute to. If you open the standard web editor, it looks like a complex CAD program. Street Complete completely flips that on its head by gamifying the process.
Exactly. It is an Android app that looks at your current GPS location, finds missing data in the OpenStreetMap database around you, and gives you little quests to solve. So you might be walking down the street, and the app asks, "Is this street well lit?" Or, "What are the opening hours for this coffee shop?" You just tap the answer, and it updates OSM in your name.
The comments on this thread were so wholesome. There was a great story from a user named Wafflemaker who was on vacation in Norway. They were looking at OSM and noticed a tiny unmarked path branching off the main road that didn't show up on Google Maps. They decided to follow it, hiked up a forested hillside, and ended up at this beautiful hidden viewpoint with a massive boulder overlooking the fjords. And that was only possible because some random person took the time to map that trail on OSM.
I loved that comment. Another user chimed in saying they actually spent years walking the local bush in their area just mapping off-road features, and now those maps are used by local fire brigades and orienteering events. It really shows the real-world impact of this data.
But it was also interesting to see some users talk about the anxiety of mapping. One user mentioned they started using Street Complete to map crosswalks and sidewalks, but felt like they were doing it wrong because OSM has so many different ways to tag the same thing. Like, do you draw a separate line for the sidewalk, or do you just add a tag to the road saying it has a sidewalk?
Right, the classic wiki problem. But the consensus in the comments was really reassuring. The maintainers of Street Complete have actually designed the app so it is very hard to mess things up. It only asks you questions where there is an obvious correct answer most of the time. It is a brilliant way to lower the barrier to entry for open source contribution.
It really is. Okay, moving from open source to the harsh realities of the corporate tech world, our next story is titled Microsoft Fire iTech Team at IDE Software. This one pulled in almost 600 points and a lot of frustrated comments.
This is part of the massive restructuring happening at Xbox right now. The new CEO of Xbox announced 1,600 layoffs taking effect immediately out of a planned 3,200. And a collateral damage here seems to be the developers behind IDE Tech, the in-house game engine at IDE Software.
For those who might not be huge gamers, IDE Software is the studio behind Doom and Quake. They practically invented the first-person shooter, and their custom engine, IDE Tech, is legendary in the industry for its performance. The fact that Microsoft is gutting this team is a huge signal that they are likely moving towards standardizing on Unreal Engine 5.
The Hacker News comments really dug into the economics and the tragedy of this. A user named NDiddy made a really astute point. When a game company has its own proprietary engine, it has to cultivate internal experts. Those employees become incredibly valuable because replacing them hurts productivity. But if a studio fires everyone and switches to Unreal Engine, suddenly they have access to a massive pool of interchangeable, lower-wage contractors.
Yeah, the comment said it lets companies treat employees as a replaceable commodity that can be scaled up and down, rather than a cohesive team of skilled artisans. It is a very cynical business move, but you can see exactly why the executives in the spreadsheets are making it.
But the gamers and the developers in the thread pointed out what we are losing here. There's this concept of engine grain. Just like film stock has a certain look, game engines have a certain feel. A lot of people pointed out that you can spot a Unity game or an Unreal game from a mile away, because studios tend to stick to the default lighting and physics.
Exactly. And id Tech was famous for being a technical marvel. People were talking about how Doom Eternal runs at 200 plus frames per second and looks incredible, even on old hardware. It dynamically scales resolution so smoothly, you never even notice a stutter.
It is a masterpiece of software optimization, which is something Hacker News always appreciates. And as one commenter put it, the reward for lapping the entire industry in performance is early retirement.
It is a real loss for the art of game development. All right, we need to shift gears to Europe now, because two of the top five stories yesterday were about a very controversial piece of legislation. The first was titled Chat Control Passed First Round in EU Parliament, and the second was a really helpful explainer titled Chat Control 1.0 and 2.0 Explained.
This is a complex and honestly infuriating story for privacy advocates. To give a quick summary, the EU has been trying to pass laws to scan private messages for child sexual abuse material, or CSAM. Chat Control 1.0 was a temporary law that allowed companies like Meta and Google to voluntarily scan unencrypted messages. That law actually expired back in April because the EU Parliament refused to extend it.
Right, and Chat Control 2.0 is the permanent proposed law that would mandate scanning and effectively break end-to-end encryption. That one has been failing in negotiations because it is so extreme. But what happened yesterday, and why Hacker News was up in arms, is that the EU Council used a procedural trick right before the summer break to revive Chat Control 1.0.
It is wild. Because the old law expired, they could not just extend it, so they introduced a formally new law with the exact same text and forced an urgency vote. A lot of parliament members had already left for the summer break, and because of the specific rules of this reading, the proponents only needed a simple majority of whoever was left in the room to push it through.
One commenter pointed out the dark irony here, saying, "This is how democracy works sometimes. You just keep trying and voting until you get the required majority, and you wait until your opponents are on vacation to do it."
The technical discussion in the comments was fascinating, though. People really dug into the math of why automated scanning is such a bad idea, specifically focusing on the base rate fallacy.
Oh, I loved that thread. A user explained that even if you have an AI scanner that is 99.9% accurate, if the actual occurrence of CSAM in the general population of messages is incredibly low, say 1 in 10,000, then almost every single alert the system generates is going to be a false positive.
Exactly. If you are scanning billions of messages a day, a 0.1% error rate means millions of innocent people having their private family photos flagged and potentially sent to law enforcement. It is a completely unscalable system that ruins lives.
And the consensus on the board is that this is the ultimate Trojan horse. As one user put it, this is the classic "grant me dictatorial power so I can do good" play. Nobody wants to be the politician who votes against child safety, so they use it to justify mass surveillance that puts every citizen under general suspicion.
It really highlights the disconnect between lawmakers who do not understand technology and the security researchers who are screaming that you cannot put a backdoor in encryption that only the good guys can use. It just does not work that way.
Speaking of EU lawmakers not understanding the practical realities of what they mandate, our final story today is titled Every New Car Sold in the European Union Must Include a Driver Monitoring Camera. This one got over 500 points and over 600 comments.
Starting this week, all new cars sold in the EU have to include advanced driver distraction warning systems. Basically, a camera pointed at your face that tracks your eye movements to make sure you are looking at the road. If you look away for too long, the car starts beeping at you.
You can probably guess how the Hacker News crowd reacted to this. The thread was just an outpouring of frustration with modern car user interfaces.
Oh my gosh, yes. There was this one comment from a user named Peter LK that perfectly captured the absurdity of this. They said they were driving a rental car over Christmas, and the dashboard kept beeping at them randomly. Because they could not figure out what the beep meant, they had to take their eyes off the road to look down at the dashboard to find the tiny blinking icon. It turns out the car was beeping because their eyes were not on the road.
It is a literal paradox. The safety feature causes the exact distraction it is trying to prevent. People were talking about alarm fatigue. Modern cars have lane assist nudging your steering wheel, speed limit alarms beeping because the camera misread a sign on a rural road, and now cameras yelling at you for checking your mirrors.
Someone pointed out that if you are driving on a well-marked highway, maybe these systems work okay, but on a narrow country road, the lane assist is constantly trying to steer you into the center of the road while you are trying to give space to oncoming traffic. It is terrifying.
And you can turn some of these features off, but the law mandates that they turn themselves back on every single time you start the car. A lot of the thread devolved into people sharing tips on how to physically disable the systems. People are talking about snipping the wires to the warning speakers or putting a piece of black tape over the driver monitoring camera.
Which, of course, raises liability issues if you get into an accident and the insurance company finds out you disabled a mandated safety feature. One commenter summed it up perfectly. They said, "These are laws for drivers written by people with chauffeurs."
That is the quote of the day right there. It really feels like we have crossed a line where cars are no longer tools that we operate, but products that operate us. The engineering culture has shifted to this idea that more alarms equals more safety, without any consideration for the human psychology of dealing with constant auditory harassment while trying to perform a complex task.
It makes me want to hold on to my 2010 hatchback forever. No screens, no cameras, just a steering wheel and a speedometer.
I am right there with you. Well, that is going to do it for today's episode. From finding hidden trails in Norway to the death of custom game engines and the ever-expanding reach of EU regulations, it was a heavy day on the boards.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 450. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend or leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep building and keep hacking.